Chapter 102. The friendly move takes up a strong position. The friendly mover sat upright on the floor, panting and eyeing one another after Mr. Boffin had slammed the gate and gone away. In the weak eyes of Venus, and in every reddish dust-colored hair in his shock of hair, there was a marked distrust of Wegg and an alertness to fly at him on perceiving the smallest occasion. In the hard-grained face of Wegg, and in his stiff knotty figure he looked like a German wooden toy, there was expressed a politic conciliation, which had no spontaneity in it. Both were flushed, flustered, and rumpled by the late scuffle, and Wegg, in coming to the ground, had received a humming knock on the back of his devoted head, which caused him still to rub it with an air of having been highly but disagreeably astonished. Each was silent for some time, leaving it to the other to begin. "Brother," said Wegg, at length breaking the silence, "you were right, and I was wrong. I forgot myself." Mr. Venus knowingly cocked his shock of hair, as rather thinking Mr. Wegg had remembered himself, in respect of appearing without any disguise. "But comrade," pursued Wegg, "it was never your lot to know Miss Elizabeth, Master George, Aunt Jane, nor Uncle Parker." Mr. Venus admitted that he had never known those distinguished persons, and added, in effect, that he had never so much as desired the honor of their acquaintance. "Don't say that, comrade," retorted Wegg. "No, don't say that. Because, without having known them, you never can fully know what it is to be stimulated to frenzy by the sight of the usurper." Offering these excusatory words, as if they reflected great credit on himself, Mr. Wegg impelled himself with his hands towards a chair in a corner of the room, and there, after a variety of awkward gambols, attained a perpendicular position. Mr. Venus also rose. "Comrade," said Wegg, "take a seat. Comrade, what a speaking countenance is yours." Mr. Venus involuntarily smoothed his countenance, and looked at his hand, as if to see whether any of its speaking properties came off. "For clearly do I know, mark you," pursued Wegg, pointing his words with his forefinger, "clearly do I know what question your expressive features puts to me." "What question?" said Venus. "The question," returned Wegg, with a sort of joyful affability, "why I didn't mention sooner that I had found something. Says your speaking countenance to me. Why didn't you communicate that when I first come in this evening? Why did you keep it back till you thought Mr. Boffin had come to look for the article?" "Your speaking countenance," said Wegg, "puts it plainer than language. Now, you can't read in my face what answer I give?" "No, I can't," said Venus. "I knew it. And why not?" returned Wegg, with the same joyful candor. "Because I lay no claims to a speaking countenance. Because I am well aware of my deficiencies. All men are not gifted alike. But I can answer in words." "And in what words?" "These. I wanted to give you a delightful sap per eyes." Having thus elongated and emphasized the word surprise, Mr. Wegg shook his friend and brother by both hands, and then clapped him on both knees, like an affectionate patron who entreated him not to mention so small a service as that which it had been his happy privilege to render. "Your speaking countenance," said Wegg, "being answered to its satisfaction, only asks then, what have you found?" "Why, I hear it say the words." "Well?" retorted Venus snappishly, after waiting in vain. "If you hear it say the words, why don't you answer it?" "Hear me out." Said Wegg. "I may going to. Hear me out. Man and brother, partner in feelings equally with undertakings and actions, I have found a cash box." "Where?" "Hear me out." apostrophe apostrophe said Wegg. He tried to reserve whatever he could, and, whenever disclosure was forced upon him, broke into a radiant gush of hear me out.
On a certain day, sir apostrophe, when? Apostrophe apostrophe said Venus bluntly.
And no, apostrophe returned Wegg, shaking his head at once observantly, thoughtfully, and playfully.
No, sir.
That's not your expressive countenance which asks that question. That's your voice, merely your voice. To proceed.
On a certain day, sir, I happened to be walking in the yard taking my lonely round for, in the words of a friend of my own family, the author of All's Well Arranged as a Do It.
Deserted, as you will remember, Mr. Venus, by the waning moon, when stars, it will occur to you, before I mention it, proclaim night's cheerless noon, on tower, fort, or tented ground, the sentry walks his lonely round, the sentry walks. Under those circumstances, sir, I happened to be walking in the yard early one afternoon, and happened to have an iron rod in my hand, with which I have been sometimes accustomed to beguile the monotony of a literary life, when I struck it against an object not necessary to trouble you by naming, apostrophe, it is necessary.
What object?
Apostrophe demanded Venus, in a wrathful tone.
Apostrophe hear me out.
Apostrophe apostrophe said Wegg.
The pump.
When I struck it against the pump, and found, not only that the top was loose, and opened with a lid, but that something in it rattled.
That something, comrade, I discovered to be a small flat oblong cash box.
Shall I say it was disappointingly light?
Apostrophe apostrophe, there were papers in it, apostrophe said Venus.
There your expressive countenance speaks indeed.
Apostrophe apostrophe cried Wegg.
A paper. The box was locked, tied up, and sealed, and on the outside was a parchment label, with the writing, My Will, John Harmon, temporarily deposited here.
Apostrophe, we must know its contents, apostrophe said Venus.
Apostrophe hear me out.
Apostrophe apostrophe cried Wegg.
I said so, and I broke the box open.
Without coming to me.
Apostrophe apostrophe exclaimed Venus.
Exactly so, sir.
Apostrophe apostrophe returned Wegg, blandly and buoyantly.
I see I take you with me.
Here, here, here. Resolved, as your discriminating good sense perceives, that if he was to have a sap per eyes, it should be a complete one.
Well, sir.
And so, as you have honored me by anticipating, I examined the document. Regularly executed, regularly witnessed, very short. Inasmuch as he has never made friends, and has ever had a rebellious family, he, John Harmon, gives to Nicodemus Boffin the little mound, which is quite enough for him, and gives the whole rest and residue of his property to the crown.
Apostrophe, the date of the will, that has been proved, must be looked to, apostrophe remarked Venus.
It may be later than this one.
Apostrophe, apostrophe hear me out.
Apostrophe, apostrophe cried Wegg.
I said so.
I paid a shilling, never mind your sixpence of it, to look up that will.
Brother, that will is dated months before this will.
And now, as a fellow man, and as a partner in a friendly move, apostrophe added Wegg, benignantly taking him by both hands again, and clapping him on both knees again, say, have I completed my labor of love to your perfect satisfaction, and are you sapperized?
Apostrophe apostrophe, Mr. Venus contemplated his fellow man and partner with doubting eyes, and then rejoined stiffly.
This is great news indeed, Mr. Wegg.
There's no denying it.
But I could have wished you had told it me before you got your fright tonight, and I could have wished you had ever asked me as your partner what we were to do, before you thought you were dividing the responsibility.
Apostrophe, apostrophe hear me out.
Apostrophe, apostrophe cried Wegg.
I knew you was a going to say so.
But alone I bore the anxiety, and alone I'll bear the blame.
Apostrophe, apostrophe this with an air of great magnanimity.
No, apostrophe said Venus.
Let's see this will and this box.
Apostrophe, do I understand,
Brother, apostrophe returned Wegg with considerable reluctance, that it is your wish to see this will and this? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Venus smote the table with his hand. Apostrophe, hear me out. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Wegg. Hear me out. I'll go and fetch him. Apostrophe, after being some time absent, as if in his covetousness he could hardly make up his mind to produce the treasure to his partner, he returned with an old leathern hat box, into which he had put the other box, for the better preservation of commonplace appearances, and for the disarming of suspicion. But I don't half like opening it here, apostrophe said Silas in a low voice, looking around. He might come back, he may not be gone. We don't know what he may be up to, after what we've seen. Apostrophe, there's something in that, apostrophe assented Venus. Come to my place. Apostrophe, jealous of the custody of the box, and yet fearful of opening it under the existing circumstances, Wegg hesitated. Come, I tell you, apostrophe repeated Venus, chafing, to my place. Apostrophe not very well seeing his way to a refusal, Mr. Wegg then rejoined in a gush, apostrophe hear me out. Certainly. Apostrophe so he locked up the bower and they set forth. Mr. Venus taking his arm, and keeping it with remarkable tenacity. They found the usual dim light burning in the window of Mr. Venus's establishment, imperfectly disclosing to the public the usual pair of preserved frogs, sword in hand, with their point of honor still unsettled. Mr. Venus had closed his shop door on coming out, and now opened it with the key, and shut it again, as soon as they were within, but not before he had put up, and barred the shutters of the shop window. No one can get in without being let in, apostrophe said he then, and we couldn't be more snug than here. Apostrophe so he raked together the yet warm cinders in the rusty grate, and made a fire, and trimmed the candle on the little counter. As the fire cast its flickering gleams here and there upon the dark greasy walls, the Hindu baby, the African baby, the articulated English baby, the assortment of skulls, and the rest of the collection, came starting to their various stations, as if they had all been out, like their master, and were punctual in a general rendezvous, to assist at the secret. The French gentleman had grown considerably since Mr. Wegg last saw him, being now accommodated with a pair of legs and a head, though his arms were yet in abeyance. To whomsoever the head had originally belonged, Silas Wegg would have regarded it as a personal favor, if he had not cut quite so many teeth. Silas took his seat in silence on the wooden box before the fire, and Venus dropping into his low chair produced from among his skeleton hands, his tea tray and teacups, and put the kettle on. Silas inwardly approved of these preparations, trusting they might end in Mr. Venus's deluding his intellect. Now, sir, apostrophe said Venus, all is safe and quiet. Let us see this discovery. Apostrophe, with still reluctant hands, and not without several glances towards the skeleton hands, as if he mistrusted that a couple of them might spring forth and clutch the document, Wegg opened the hat box and revealed the cash box, opened the cash box and revealed the will. He held a corner of it tight, while Venus, taking hold of another corner, searchingly and attentively read it. Was I correct in my account of it, partner? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Mr. Wegg at length. Partner, you were, apostrophe said Mr. Venus. Mr. Wegg thereupon made an easy, graceful movement, as though he would fold it up, but Mr. Venus held on by his corner. No, sir, apostrophe said Mr. Venus, winking his weak eyes and shaking his head. No, partner. The question is now brought up, who is going to take care of this? Do you know who is going to take care of this, partner? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am, apostrophe said Wegg. Oh dear no, partner, apostrophe retorted Venus. That's a mistake. I am. Now look here, Mr. Wegg. I don't want to have any words with you, and still less do I want to have any anatomical pursuits with you. Apostrophe, what do you mean? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Wegg, quickly. I mean, partner, apostrophe replied Venus, slowly, that it's hardly possible for a man to feel in a more amiable state towards another man than I do towards you at this present moment. But I am on my own ground, I am surrounded by the trophies of my art, and my tools is very handy. Apostrophe, what do you mean, Mr. Venus? Apostrophe asked Gwegg again. I am surrounded, as I have observed, apostrophe said Mr. Venus, placidly, by the trophies of my art. They are numerous, my stock of human wares is large, the shop is pretty well crammed, and I don't just now want any more trophies of my art. But I like my art, and I know how to exercise my art. Apostrophe, no man better, apostrophe assented Mr. Wegg, with a somewhat staggered air. There's the miscellanies of several human specimens, apostrophe said Venus, apostrophe though you mightn't think it, in the box on which you're sitting. There's the miscellanies of several human specimens, in the lovely combo one behind the door, with a nod towards the French gentleman. It still wants a pair of arms. I don't say that I'm in any hurry for 'em. Apostrophe, you must be wandering in your mind. Partner, apostrophe Silas remonstrated. You'll excuse me if I wander, apostrophe returned Venus. I am sometimes rather subject to it. I like my art, and I know how to exercise my art, and I mean to have the keeping of this document. Apostrophe, but what has that got to do with your art, partner? Apostrophe asked Gwegg, in an insinuating tone. Mr. Venus winked his chronically fatigued eyes both at once, and adjusting the kettle on the fire, remarked to himself, in a hollow voice, she'll bile in a couple of minutes. Apostrophe, Silas Wegg glanced at the kettle, glanced at the shelves, glanced at the French gentleman behind the door, and shrank a little as he glanced at Mr. Venus winking his red eyes, and feeling in his waistcoat pocket as for a lancet, say with his unoccupied hand. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.